Well, today is May the 10th, 2020, and again, happy Mother's Day to all the moms on the line today. Blessed to have you with us. Please look in your Bibles at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. That's where we're going to begin this morning. Over the past number of weeks, we've been looking at God's Word from a practical point of view in light of the days that we are living in, but really, what we've been looking at is also very applicable for anything and any time we encounter challenges. Life's not always smooth sailing. I mentioned last week that whether it's a pandemic or any challenge or obstacle we may face, small ones or big ones, in those times, our faith is tested. What we truly believe is confronted. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus," that's Timothy, "our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." The Apostle Paul spent around 3 weeks in the city of Thessalonica, and there was trouble there. We're going to read about that in a few minutes. And then from Thessalonica, he went to Berea, and then he went down to Athens, and then from Athens, he went to the city of Corinth. This epistle of 1 Thessalonians was more than likely written when he was in Corinth. But before he ever wrote this epistle, we see here, he really wanted to know how they were doing with all the pressures they were under. And so he sent Timothy to strengthen and encourage them concerning their faith or their believing. And I was reading 1 Thessalonians this past week, and when I read this, especially there in verse 2, you know, personally, I thought, this is what I want my life to be about, my purpose, what I'm trying to do, to be like Timothy, to strengthen and encourage God's people concerning their faith, their believing. Because pandemic or no pandemic, there are afflictions, pressures, challenges we will face from time to time. So let's read that again, verse 1. "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith or believing, that no one, no man, no one should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." The word moved means agitated or disturbed or troubled. That no one should be agitated, disturbed, or troubled by these afflictions, mental pressures. For yourselves know, then it says we are appointed. It would be better understood as positioned. They were not appointed to afflictions, but rather they were positioned among such things. Unpleasant stuff was happening there. Verse 4, "For verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation or mental pressure, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith or believing, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain." The tempter. We have an adversary. There's evil in the world. And we face things that test us, that challenge what we believe. If you take a look at James chapter 1, not too far away, Hebrews James chapter 1, and in James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." Count it all joy when you fall into various temptations or adversity, affliction, trouble, knowing this, that the trying of your faith or the proving of your faith or believing works patience. Yeah, when you go through stuff, It definitely increases your patience. You remember in Romans 5, it says we glory in mental pressure. Also, knowing that the mental pressure works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope makes not ashamed. I think a few weeks ago we were reading that verse that talked about the patience of Job. Yeah, he had quite a bit of patience. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." Life's not always sunshine and roses. Things come up in everyone's life. And for some people, when life is interrupted and there are mental pressures, some people have a really hard time dealing with it. And this is what I know. And I'm not saying that to be critical. You know, some people just have a hard time dealing with it. You know, I just don't want this to happen. I just want life to be smooth and said, don't interrupt it. Oh no, now what's going on? Some people, when life is interrupted or challenges come, they have a really hard time. But I know this, it's the right understanding and believing God, believing the scriptures, that gives us patience and comfort. You know that verse in Romans, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. We read just a couple of weeks ago, grace and peace multiplied to you through a knowledge of God and his Son. You know, at the Last Supper, Jesus told them in John 16, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation, mental pressure. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Earlier that night he told them, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives it, give I unto you." And then he said again, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." It is not God's will for your heart to be troubled. It's not God's will for you to be afraid. Fear interferes with believing God. And regardless of what causes the mental pressures, again, it's the right understanding and believing God, believing the scriptures, that will settle you down, that'll give you clear thinking, that will provide you his grace and peace so that you can endure with patience and be victorious in those times. And not only that, but God's word also gives us examples of real people under real pressures, going through real mental pressures of all different kinds. And God does this to show us, to give us an example of how we too can trust God when we're going through difficult times. So we're going to look at that in Acts chapter 16, if you wouldn't mind turning there. Acts chapter 16. In Paul's day, the Apostle Paul, Greece was divided into two areas. The northern part was called Macedonia, and the southern part is referred to as Achaia. Corinth and Athens were in Achaia. Then up north, the cities of Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. When Paul left Philippi, we'll read about that in just a second, he headed to Thessalonica, which is about an hour and a half away by car. It was 100 miles, so you know, how long is that going to take to walk or ride a animal? You know, maybe 4 days. But we're going to read about Philippi here. Philippi was a Roman colony set up there by Rome. And if you're familiar with Acts 16, we're not going to read the whole record. Paul and Silas were unjustly arrested, they were beaten, and then they were thrown into jail. But as you know, God did a miraculous thing for them, and the jailer and his house were saved. We're going to start in Acts 13, verse 35. after all this stuff happened to them. And when it was day, Acts 16:35, the magistrates sent the sergeants saying, "Let those men go." Okay, those guys can be, you can let them out. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, "Well, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now, therefore, depart and go in peace." Verse 37, but Paul said, no. They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now they're just going to say, okay, they can go out? No. Let them come themselves and fetch us out. You were not to beat a Roman citizen that was uncondemned? Hoo-hoo! These guys could have gotten into some serious trouble. So the sergeants went and told these words to the magistrates. Oh, and then they feared when they heard that they were Romans, because Paul was Roman. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. Oh, we're so sorry for all this, blah, blah, blah. And no, they didn't depart right away. They went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Boy, you want to talk about government control taking away people's rights? You know, today, many people are very concerned and praying for our country, and rightly so, because we know from history and from reading the Bible just how bad it can get. Remember how bad it was in Jesus' day? A government order sent soldiers to a little town to execute all baby boys two and under. Oh, that's a pretty powerful government, isn't it? That's quite control. So after this episode here in Philippi, Paul and Silas, physically hurting, I'm sure, from the beatings, they head to Thessalonica, which is about 100 miles away. I read somewhere that in Paul's day, the city of Thessalonica was around a population of around 200,000. I read that somewhere. I don't know for sure, but Acts 17:1. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. The Scriptures. What Scriptures? That'd be Old Testament, right? Yeah. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. So he's there about 3 weeks, and he's teaching God's word more than just on the Sabbath day. We'll see that when we look at Thessalonians again. But on the Sabbath days, he went into the synagogue there. So 3 weeks he's there. And verse 4 says, some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks, okay, the people that, you know, were from Greece there, meaning Gentiles, they were not from a Judean background. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude. Boy, there was a whole bunch of Gentiles that believed. And of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews, the Judeans, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. Boy, isn't that a great description. You ever run into certain lewd fellows of the baser sort? That just sounds bad, doesn't it? Doesn't that give you a mind picture of some bad people? They took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. These people have come into our town, and they're causing trouble, whom Jason has received." Yeah, Jason likes them. "And these all," look at this, "all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there's another king, one Jesus." So we get the politics in there, you know. Politics, nothing new. "And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things." Yep. Things have not changed. It's words, accusations, all kinds of things people say that will trouble people. Verse 9, and when they had taken security of Jason, bailed him out, and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. So, after being there for 3 weeks, then this big persecution came up. The whole city's in an uproar. Jason gets thrown in jail. All this stuff is going on. And Paul and Silas, it was like, look, why don't you guys, you know, take a breather from this place? They sent them by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. When Paul and Silas left there and went to Berea, they didn't go into hiding. Where's a safe house? Nobody needs to know we're here. No, they did what they always did. Went into synagogue and start preaching again. And verse 11 says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. The these refers to the Judeans in Thessalonica who were not noble at all. They did not believe the words that Paul spoke. They're the ones that went and got the lewd fellows of the baser sort to cause a big stink. But these Judeans in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so, whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them in Berea believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica, when those religious Judeans of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. Boy, it seems like there's some people that just work for the adversary, and their whole goal in life is to stir up people, cause problems, cause divisions, cause this, cause that. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it were by the sea, as it were to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. So Silas and Timothy stayed in Berea. Paul went down to Athens. Verse 15, and they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. The rest of this chapter deals with Paul in the city of Athens. And then after that, when you go to chapter 18, Paul heads to Corinth. Paul spent about a year and a half in Corinth. And from there, he wrote this first epistle that he sent to the believers in Thessalonica. So with that background now, we've got a little bit of background. Let's read some of 1 Thessalonians. And if you go to chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, some interesting times for the Apostle Paul, wouldn't you say? So, after a period of time when Paul is in Corinth, we know that he had already sent Timothy up there to check on them. And then sometime later when he's living in Corinth, he writes this epistle to them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, meaning Paul and Silas and Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, believing, and labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Wow. These were some highly regarded and acknowledged believers, weren't they? If you are familiar with the book of Corinthians, Paul didn't write something like this to the Corinthians, did he? You know, what did he tell the Corinthians? Why are you guys so carnal? Why is somebody going, oh, I like Peter. No, I like Paul. He's better. Oh, I like Apollos. What did he say to them? He called them babies spiritually. You guys are a bunch of babies. That's what he said to the Corinthians. How about the Galatians? Well, you don't read words like this to the Galatians. To those, he said, I'm shocked. that you're turned away from the truth so quickly? What's up with you? Who's bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Nothing like that here. Quite the contrary. Look at verse 3 again. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Wow. And now remember, he only spent 3 weeks with them, and it was not that long ago. Verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us, imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, pressures with joy of the Holy Spirit. Not just a little mental pressure, it says much affliction. That was a lot of mental pressure. We saw a little bit of that, what was going on when we were reading in Acts, what things were like there, the whole city in an uproar, religious Jews employing certain lewd fellows of the baser sort to persecute and cause trouble. So how would you react if that kind of mental pressure was going on around you? Would you just lay low for a while? We just need to lay low for a while. Would you say, wow, you know, I like what he's teaching, but you know, this kind of trouble, this isn't worth it to me. They didn't, not at all. Verse 7, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Holy cow. They didn't lay low. They became examples to all of the believers for all of Greece. Verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith, your believing to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. My goodness, in such a short amount of time, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but everywhere, people heard about their faith, their believing God. They had a reputation. Wow, what an example. Verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. And think about that. Prior to Paul going to Thessalonica, these people were pagan idol worshipers. It just said, you turned from idols. They worshipped the god of this, the god of that. Pagan Gentiles. Those living in Thessalonica that were of a Judean background there, they could have believed the words of Paul, but they didn't. And then he caused a lot of trouble. But these new believers were on fire, refused to let persecution and mental pressure deter them, so much so that their belief in God was heard about all over the place. Is that not an example to you and me? Regardless of what mental pressures we're faced with, whenever? Chapter 2. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. We read about what happened in Philippi. Obviously, Paul told them what happened to him in Philippi, because he said, as you know. But after all that happened to Paul in Philippi when he got to Thessalonica, didn't change his style, didn't change what he did. That's why he said, we were bold in our God to speak to you. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. We weren't trying to trick anybody. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tries our hearts. boy, look at the humility of this wonderful man, Paul. Allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. God has allowed me to be entrusted with his words. What a wonderful, meek, humble man. He said in verse 5, "For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others. When we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ," you know, he didn't go into Thessalonica and go, "Hey, I'm the great apostle, Paul. Oh, I'm this, I'm that." He just went in and said, "Look, I got God's word to share with you. We were gentle among you," it says, "even as a nurse cherishes her children." Or as some translate that, nursing mother. So there you go. Happy Mother's Day. "We were gentle among you, like a nursing mother with her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. You're witnesses, God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, like a father does his children, that you would walk worthy of God who has called you unto his kingdom and glory." Verse 13 is just wonderful. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." Paul said, "We are so thankful because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe." See, that's really what set these people apart. They believed what they heard was not just Paul preaching, but rather they believed it was God's word. And it says his word works effectually in anyone who believes, and they believed it. To the end that everyone was talking about their believing. And as we saw, it wasn't always sunshine and roses for them, was it? Boy, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. Verse 14, "For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire." After Paul left Thessalonica and then went to Berea, he wanted to go back. "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown or rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy." And now let's read these verses we read at the beginning. It's where we'll close up here in chapter 3. "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your believing, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." See, Paul knows they have pressures, so he sends Timothy back up there to Thessalonica from Athens. Think about that for a second. "Hey, Timothy, I need you to go back up to Thessalonica." Paul, we read, Paul sent Timothy when he was in Athens. And, you know, to go back up to Thessalonica from Athens today takes about an hour to get there by plane. It's 310 miles. Hey, Timothy, need you to go up to Thessalonica. Okay. How long is that going to take him? 310 miles? 10 days? 2 weeks? Wow. And this is what he sent him to do, to establish you, to comfort you concerning your faith. Verse 3. That no man should be moved by these afflictions or pressures, for yourselves know we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, mental pressures, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, your believing, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timothy came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, love, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction. Hearing this news was comforting in all our affliction and distress by your faith or your believing. Aren't we comforted and encouraged by others who believe God? When we hear, you know, hey, this happened and that happened and, you know, God did this. You hear stories of people that get blessed and believe God. Doesn't that encourage you? Inspire you? Sure. Hearing all the negative stuff, that's not encouraging. It's depressing. And you know, the adversary, the enemy, is an expert at promoting fear, division, confusion, misinformation. Well, if you want to read some of that, read the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, when God's people, after being, you know, in exile up in Babylon for 70 years, when they came back down to Jerusalem to get things set up, to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the walls, oh, the crap that was thrown at them, the misinformation, the fear, and all of this stuff. It's amazing. Nothing's changed. Here in this epistle, God is showing us these wonderful believers, real people, dealing with real pressures, and how they just locked in with believing, love, and hope. We saw that in chapter 1, remember? Your work of believing, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And God's showing us that they had a reputation all over the place of believing God, not getting swayed by the tempter. How encouraging this is for us to read this with some understanding of what they had to deal with. And look at verse 12, what Paul encouraged them to do. And the Lord, verse 12, make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all people, even as we do toward you. Abound in love. Increase and abound in love. We need to love each other. Yep. Love each other, care for each other, check on each other. You know, kick it up a notch, especially when times are tough. Reach out and love people. You know, you can read this whole chapter and epistle and see that Paul encouraged them in other areas as well. But this morning, I wanted us to see how a group of believers handled the mental pressures they were surrounded with. We saw in chapter 1 when Paul prayed for them, he remembered their work concerning believing. Yeah, they worked at it. It doesn't come automatically. They worked at putting God's words into their minds and believing it, right? And then their labor of love. Labor, yeah, they worked at loving people, not criticizing, not finding fault, not being legalistic, not being judgmental, and forgiving people. Not holding grudges, loving people. It's the goodness of God that leads people to change. And they had patience of the hope. They knew this life was not all there is. They knew and believed Christ would be coming back someday. And so their believing toward God was known, not only all over Macedonia and Achaia, but everywhere. And so, what a great example they were and still are. They were people who previously worshipped idols, but they received God's word from Paul, not as the words of Paul, but as it is indeed the word of God, and that word of God will effectually work in anyone and everyone who believes it. Shall we pray? Almighty God, our wonderful, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your word, and Father, for showing us this and other great examples of real people who had to deal with real things to encourage us, to inspire us to believe you and to trust you. Father God, we come before you with hearts of thanksgiving for all the times you have blessed our lives. Father, for the times that you have blessed and protected us that we didn't even know about. Father, may we continue to look to you. Father, may we continue to believe your words. May we continue to, as was written to the Thessalonians, abound in love and love people and love all people. And Father, through all these times we're going through now, would you please guide us, lead us, direct us, and help us individually. May we look to you and expect help from you, because you are such a kind and gracious God. And you've promised us that if we lack wisdom, we should ask, and that you give liberally. Thank you, Father, for our fellowship here this morning, for everybody that was on the phone hookup this morning. And I just ask you to bless them all, and especially the moms today. Bless all the moms. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you all for joining us in this phone-in fellowship. We're going to do it again next Sunday. And again, feel free to give the info to anyone you think that might be interested. I'm going to unmute everyone's phone so that we can try to say goodbye to one another here. So thank you again. God bless you.